What is up? Happy Sunday, everybody. Banging Beers 156. How we doing today, boys?
Hungover.
I'm fine.
I'm in okay condition.
I had a long weekend.
So today we are crossing the Atlantic and what, the Baltic Sea?
Yes.
To the long, faraway land of Estonia with Pohjola Brewing Company. So if you're Estonian and I just fucked that up, I'm sorry and please help me.
Yeah, we're gonna butcher a lot of your beer names because we it's not our second language.
But we're third language.
Yeah. It's like, or even remotely.
We barely know English. Super excited for this one. Bob will tell us exactly how he came about these and why these are exciting for him here.
But so yesterday we hung out at Schnitz Creek for my birthday down in Anvil, which was a lot of fun. So thank you guys for coming out.
Yep. Very hospitable. Yeah. Hospitable. Yeah,
hospitable.
That's what I was trying to say.
But awesome place. The staff was really great. We'll hopefully be doing something with them in the not too distant future as well.
I forgot the girl's name.
Food was really good too.
Carmen.
Yes. No, yeah. Carmen and the girl bartending.
Oh, that I don't remember.
I thought it was Alyssa.
Yeah, because we were supposed to.
Yeah, I just told you to remember. I know the kid's name, remember. Rocco.
Yeah.
I can't forget that because Rock was Modern Life, but they were awesome bartenders. Food was fantastic. Yeah, beers were great.
Awesome. We bought Nashville hot chicken. Ooh.
We bought a bunch of beers. So we have a whole Schnitz Creek episode coming up. We're going to sneak the blueberry in on this one too for today. So we actually have an episode for Schnitz Creek as well as an episode on location very soon at Schnitz Creek, which we're very excited about.
Yeah. And then don't forget April 9th, we are going to be at Rusty Rails. So that's getting here real quick. So that's what, 3 weeks away?
3 weeks. Yep, yeah.
All right. We got to start probably promoting that.
Yeah. Let's get it out there. You guys are watching or listening to this later, mark your calendars down for the 9th of next month and come hang out with us at Rusty Rail. And the more people that can come out and support us and say, hey, we're here because Bangin' Beers told us, like, shows value in our podcast, and our listeners can help definitely promote that for us. Our last episode 151, two, three, I don't remember.
155.
Our St. Patty's Day episode was our third highest audio listened to podcast ever. So thank you all so much for not just watching this, listening.
The show or the network?
For this show. We broke a pretty big milestone for ourselves. We have an average of what we normally get. This one almost doubled our average. So hopefully those people who did listen stick around and hang out with us more. But the listenership went up. So we really, really hope you guys all enjoyed that. And we keep you around. But that means a lot to us that you guys are supporting the audio side of things, because that's not easy to grow.
You guys good with this one for the first show beer?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to crack this here real quick. Our first show beer today is this year's version of Lolly Hop from Trogues, which is their dry hop Mosaic Citron Azaka double IPA. This is their spring varietal. I remember this is the first beer that started me through COVID, because I think that's when they first released it and I bought a case of it because I thought all the beer was going to go away.
Yeah. Zach said, I'm pretty sure I paid Snitz light bill yesterday. Same here.
Yeah.
But it was totally worth it.
Oh, yeah.
I went and bought the beers for the episode, and Heidi's like, don't spend X amount of dollars. I blew that number. Oh,
no, you're good. Yeah, we have two cats.
The Snitz, I only grabbed one. I fucked up.
That's all right. But all right, well, we got there, Bob. And you're taking your picture right now. So we got Lolly Hop. Like I said, this was out, I guess this came out the first time right as COVID hit, I'm pretty sure. Or did it come out the year before?
It came out the year before that. It just so happened to be timed roughly because it just came out this week.
Yes. Yeah. This is, like I said, this is their spring Imperial or double IPA.
Right, whenever you're ready.
You got it?
Go ahead.
Lolly Hop, dry hopped double IPA from Trogues Independent Brewing of Hershey, PA. This is considered an Imperial or double IPA, and it comes in at 8.2 ABV. It's been checked in a little over 27,000 times, where it averages a 4.03. I have 80 friend check-ins, where it averages a 4.08, and I've had it once myself before. Going to the description, it says, we taste pear, citrus, and a hint of melon. When we make our annual pilgrimage, we can't speak English.
We're all having word problems today.
The hop-growing hotbed of the Yakima Valley, we're like kids in a candy store. We eyeball the hops on the lines, crush them in our hands, and rub them till their oil fills the air. Lolly Hop brings together three of our favorites. Dry hopping with Citra and Mosaic layers in notes of orange, grapefruit, and melon, while a Zaka in the kettle adds hints of papaya and pineapple. Locally harvested rustic pale malt provides the backbone, and wheat and oats make this beer silky smooth with a touch of haze. The flavor profile is listed as hoppy, smooth, clean, fruity, and spicy.
Beautiful.
Yeah, this is. I look forward to this one every year since they've been putting it out. I don't know, something seems a little off to it this year for me, or something's missing, but still good.
You know what?
If it's the first one you tasted without having Rona.
So immediately the smell and taste of this beer just smells like you walked into Trogs.
Yeah.
Like it has that hop, like that hop characteristic to it. Like when you smell that, that's the smell you walk as soon as you walk through the door, Trogs. That heavy hop smell.
Oh, I love that smell.
Yeah, I know, it's so beautiful.
Good. I think my favorite part is taking the tour and going in the hop room, like, and just
breathing it in.
Yeah, just breathe it in.
I haven't taken the tour yet. I've been there several times, but I never took.
Yeah, I need to do that
too. Yeah, I think we needed to.
We need to do the
schedule
the
tour date.
Yeah, we got to do the field trip of freaking England.
Yeah. Yeah, we never done that yet.
With either. Our Lord shirt. I'll have my Lord shirt this week, so we can.
Nice.
Somebody suggested to me that when I hit number 1,000 for King of Ying, we should do it at the brewery.
Let's do it. We got 300 more to go.
I'm up to 707.
Yeah. 707. Yep.
All right.
Yep. That's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot of loggers.
Yeah, only 293 more.
that's 3 weeks.
Yeah. So Friday night I did a open mic again at the Black Diamond in Frackville and had a blast. They asked me if I wanted anything like a special. I said, can we do a beer special? And they said, sure, what do you want? I said, I want Chetty on tap. So they put Chetty on tap for me, $2 Chetties.
Yep.
Which is awesome. I had a great time. I drank a lot of those $2 Chetties, I was hurting the next day at Andy's party. I woke up and High's like, "Are you all right?" I'm like, "I'm gonna go puke, and then rally. I'm gonna go throw up. I'm gonna try to eat. I'm gonna try to clean my system out." And then I rallied for. I didn't go super hard. I only had like what, two beers in a flight, and then I was hurting though. Yesterday was rough for me.
Little hair of the dog.
Yeah. Oh.
And then we capped it off at Little Brown Barrel in Minersville.
Yep.
So it was a nice little day. So thank you again, gentlemen.
Yep.
Yeah, let's show some love to our Patreon. So we want to thank once again Dave, our winner for the Colster. So he says he really enjoys it. He did give us, Bob, is there a hat right next to you there? A gray hat?
Yeah, we had it on.
Yeah, so once again, he is part of the Skook Disc Golf team. He gave us a hat to support. I didn't get a chance to wear it yet, but thank you so much, Dave, for hooking us up with that. Also, we want to thank, so we have $1 to $25 for our Patreon. If you can't afford it, we completely understand. Hitting a share button or like or just telling people about the podcast, word of mouth, helps out. We want to thank Ryan Vox, David S., Brett Squared from the Cake Stand in Monty City, Bridget M., Andrew H. from Bang & Beers Podcast, Greg R., Heidi B. from Not Cool in High School, Ryan G. from Fueled by Hot's Podcast, Kelly from Crystal Mountain Healing and Truth Behind Illusion, Tommy B., Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop, Brad Z., Higher Than Other Words Podcast, and J.H. So thank you all so much for that continued support. Helps us out a lot. We do have a t-shirt giveaway coming up for the end of this month. Still waiting on you, Ryan Vox, for your shirt pick that you want. And we'll get that out to you as well. Did everyone pour? I thought I fucked up again.
No, you're good. Yeah, that can though, please.
Yes. And like I said, if we have merchandise that you can go buy, you can support Patreon. Or like I said, you don't have to do monetary stuff. You can just hit share, like, or come join us on a Sunday and join us in the comments. If you are here watching right now live, say hi to us. Say what's going on. It looks like we have 3 people on Facebook and surprisingly no one on Facebook or Twitter. Or not. No, I'm sorry. YouTube. Usually our YouTube does really well. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe our YouTube crowd has disappeared a little bit. So we have Rish and your mom, Bill, saying with the thumbs up in the chat. So thank you guys so much for that. Means a lot to us.
Maybe
so,
people are busy today.
Yeah, Sundays are tough days sometimes.
Yeah, next week we'll be back at our 12 p.m. time slot as well. So we're probably, what, every other week or something is when you're working at the craft house, something like that?
Yeah, it should be, but...
Yeah.
Every 3 or so weeks.
Every few weeks we'll be doing 3 p.m. Because Billy's got to sling some beers first. So
yeah.
But so we're going to crack this first one here from Poyala Brewing Company in Estonia, which is an orange goza. What we got there, Bob?
Orange goza from Poyala Brewing of Tallinn, Estonia. It's considered a fruited goza sour. It comes in at 5.5% ABV. It's been checked in just shy of 25,000 times.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. It averages a 3.44. I have 26 friend check-ins where it averages a 3.56.
Ooh.
A citrus forward goes brewed with oranges, coriander, Himalayan rock salt, and our house culture of lactobacillus. Refreshing citrus sour notes come through mixed with hints of fresh rye fields and balanced out by a sweet, jammy orange juiciness. Even more floral zest shines through as the glass warms. The appearance should be golden orange with a brief white head, and the nose should be freshly peeled citrus with hints of exotic spicy coriander and some tropical guava on the nose with some inviting hints of saltiness. It uses pale wheat, rye, and carapale malts, and it is hopped with Hallertau Blank and HBC 431.
That's where I work.
And the flavor profile is listed as sour, orange, refreshing, acidic, and zippy.
I like zippy. That's a good word. Zippy. That's
delicious. This is nice because it's not like overpoweringly orange. No. Sometimes you'll get beers with like orange in it, and it's like, that's fucking tang.
or like they're trying to make a Fanta or this.
Yeah.
I love the saltiness right away.
Yeah. Like that's what I love about Goza, is that saltiness to it. Like that stands them away from different other forms of sours.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's an all dayer too. That's like really refreshing.
Absolutely. Super nice and clean.
Nice outdoor beer.
Like I said, like the orange is just, it's perfect. Like it's not overpoweringly, it doesn't taste fake. And it's just like the right amount of like, it's just a little bit of it tart and that saltiness, Bob, like you said.
So Bob, tell us how you came across this brewery and how you came across these beers for this episode.
Well, I've known about the brewery for a long time. Estonia has been a country that's fascinated me my entire life. But I have a lot of beer friends that are overseas on the Untappd app, and I see this pop up through them. I always watch for it. And the last time I went to Shangi's, I bought one of every they had. It was the first time I'd ever seen any of their stuff there. So we have 6 bottles and 2 cans.
Yeah, we got quite the assortment here. This is awesome.
Yeah, so like I said, I bought one of everything that I saw from them. And
well, we appreciate that because that probably wasn't cheap. And sharing with us.
One of those countries, too. It's like, I forget that like they're there. It's like, what, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania.
They commonly refer to the three of them as the Baltic states.
Yep, the Baltics.
After World War I, they all were briefly independent from Imperial Russia. At the beginning of World War II, the Germans overran them all, and then the Soviets came in afterwards and swept it back the other way, and they were all part of the Soviet Union until it broke up in 1991. And it's kind of strange. The official policy of the United States was that although they didn't go out of their way to do anything special, they officially refused to acknowledge them all as part of the Soviet Union, and Estonia actually maintained a government in exile.
Oh, nice.
In New York City.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Especially the Soviet Union stuff, which is poignant today now because of what's going on with Ukraine and fucking Russia. But
stay out of Estonia. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
They make good beers.
And you guys have Estonian background at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
I have Lithuanian, so I'm close.
Yeah. For all I know is I'm English, Irish, and Italian. And a little bit English, a little bit German, Irish, Italian.
I'm like most of the British Isles, like Irish, Scottish,
yeah.
Welsh, and then German and some Lithuanian.
I got to spit on a stick. I got to do one of those 20.
Yeah, I really want to do that. I want to see, because if I'm Scottish, that means I might be Nordic too. Yeah. Because the Vikings, you know, did all that shit in Sweden.
Maybe we should do that for an episode. We all take a DNA test and say where we're from. And then try to find a beer from where we're from.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Well, I know for sure I'm Irish and Polish.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like my last name was literally O'Hare at one point.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, God damn it. I wish I would have kept that.
I mean, change it back.
Yeah. Who's going to stop you?
But
if Nikki Six can change his name.
Yeah, I got to pay for it and stuff. Then.
Yeah.
Maybe. Get some Patreon money and we can.
That's where our Patreon money is going to.
Does Rich have to also agree because she changes it?
I think she'd be okay with O'Hare.
She'd be Rich O'Hare?
Yeah.
I like
pretty
it.
Sweet.
Yeah. So you said you have some history of this brewery. So let's dive into our second one here.
Well, we're going to do the other sour, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll open this other sour
before we crank into these stouts.
Some brewer history.
All right. So
we waited too long last time doing it.
So and hopefully I'm not butchering the name. The Pojala Brewing Company of Tallinn, Estonia. The name Pojala actually means the northern realm or the northern area in the Estonian language.
So they're the Starks.
Of the three Baltic states, it is the largest craft brewery in all of them.
Ooh.
It is actually
color.
The Rate Beer website actually considers this one of the 100 top breweries in the world.
Wow. So their Twitter account, real quick, it says an Estonia craft beer. It's pronounced as if someone punched you in the stomach after you said that you do not like dark beers, is their official Twitter statement. So as someone who's maybe turning the corner on dark beers, hopefully we'll see how it goes from here.
We got quite the few coming up here.
And their first pinned tweet is beautiful. It says, a quick reminder that beer doesn't care about your age. Well, sometimes if it's underage. Gender, skin color.
It still doesn't. It's the man that cares about your age.
Yeah. skin color or dating preference. Anyone telling you otherwise can go drink a warm micro lager. I like that. Yeah, they seem like they have a really good personality, a really good sense of humor, and they have a good time with it. So I'm a fan of this brewery.
That smells fantastic. This is a raspberry one, right?
So they have a big focus on porters and barrel aging, and they have another big line where they use locally sourced forest ingredients. It was founded by four friends. Unfortunately, nothing that I looked up specifically gave their names, but it was founded by four friends in Estonia in 2011. They ended up hooking up with Chris Pilkington, who became their head brewer, and he was big because he used to be a brew dog.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
They actually contract brewed their first beer before the brewery was officially opened, and their first brewery opened in October of 2014, where it was available to the public. It didn't take them long to outgrow that, and in 2019, they moved to a new facility again. It's in a section of the city that used to be a big industrial area. It was big in shipbuilding and stuff like that, and it's all no longer used for that purpose anymore. It's all converted into commercial and art spaces and stuff like that. Their new facility has a lab, a store, a sauna, and a 24-tap tap house. And they installed a bottling line there that is capable of handling 6,000 cans an hour.
Could you imagine getting fucked up in a sauna?
I'm sure I'm not going to pronounce it right. Their best-selling beer is Vermalised. It's an IPA. And since 2015, they are the official sponsor of the Tallinn Craft Beer Weekend, which is held annually.
Nice. All right. Get that Patreon money up.
Yep.
Fly us out.
Get us go head out to Estonia. But so I don't love raspberry stuff.
This is fantastic.
Oh, sorry, Bob. But yeah, I don't normally love raspberry or berry flavored things. This is fucking awesome though.
It is good.
Like it's like their fruit balance is so good, and there's like it's a Berliner Weiss, right?
This is I think so.
Berliner Weiss style, I think. But it's got that right amount of tart too. Like it's not overtly sour, but the raspberry and it's a really nice like pinkish hue. But this is another like, dude, this is awesome.
This is almost like a. When I say this, I don't want to like sound like it's bad, but it has a slight tart kick, but it's almost like drinking a flavored water. It's like I said, it's so refreshing. Like it's so light bodied.
I have it up if you want.
Oh, yeah, let's do it, Bob.
So, Prenzlauer Berg again from Pojala of Tallinn, Estonia. This is considered a fruited Berliner Weiss. It comes in at 4.5% ABV. This has been checked in just shy of 17,000 times, where it averages a 3.59. I have 31 friend check-ins, where it averages a 3.82. A rich and creamy sour wheat beer brewed with raspberries. Sweet creamy raspberry with a tingling zesty acidity. The light, almost farmhouse malt body slides down slowly. See, we still can't speak English.
They know.
Slides slowly down the tongue, almost as a merengue, balanced by a juicy, creamy lactose touch. The appearance should be a vibrant reddish pink with a pink white head. The nose is rich raspberry milkshake with a slightly citric sour touch. This uses pale wheat malts, wheat malts, flaked oats, and flaked spelt. And it is hopped with Hallertau Blank, raspberries, and lactose. Spelt's an unusual grain. You don't see that in a lot of beers.
I don't hear that often.
I'm a big fan of stuff with spelt in it.
Yeah, this is really good. This is so light-bodied, refreshing.
And the flavor profile is raspberry, sour, light, juicy, and clean.
Yeah, I agree.
One thing I like about these, so on the bottom of the can, it has the brewed on date, and then it also has a best buy date. So these were brewed, it looks like, in 2021, like around March 2021, and they're good until 2023, they're recommending.
They have a batch number on there, too.
Yeah, they have batch numbers, everything. So that's pretty cool. Like, because usually, like, we've been bitching about places not putting their canning dates on lately.
Honestly, when he told me he was bringing these, I was like, man, I'm kind of nervous because, like, anyone can just grab these internationally and throw them on a shelf, and then yep. People don't know who they are and they sit there.
Which depends on the style, though. Like, we don't have any IPAs, so I really not.
Well, that kind of happens to that. We think we kind of got burnt with that one time in the past on the show with Omnipolo, where we drank them and they were not good, and we're like, we don't know if it's just bad beer or if we bought old shelfies because they didn't sell because they were expensive. And you never know unless the brewery kind of protects himself by throwing those stamps on there. It's tough sometimes.
Yeah, especially for international. But I think most of the Omnipolo ones were brewed in the U.S. contract style. So
it's possible.
That's, I think, what was one of our biggest problems with it. I would love to try their stuff fresh because they have a pretty good reputation. But
yeah,
that show was not a good one for them.
That was probably one of the only episodes where we really went hard on the brewery. And it was just because we paid so much money for it and it had so much hype. And we're just like, these didn't taste like they were worth the money, you know?
Yeah, that was kind of brutal. Like, so sorry, Omnipolo, if you ever happen to see that episode, but send us.
Well, I mean, we're trying to be honest.
How about you change our minds?
Yeah.
Send us some beers.
Well, speaking of sending us stuff, two episodes ago, before the St. Patty's Day, we did a Topple and Goliath episode, which if you could look around the table, we're swagged out. Topple and Goliath reached out. They
thank
sent
you guys
us,
so much.
An amazing thank you card. So they really enjoyed the episode. In 4 years doing that, that's never happened. I mean, we've been invited places and we've been really treated very well. But for them to being so far away to send us like a care package with T-shirts and stickers and all that really cool stuff was super dope, man. So thank you so much, Topple and Goliath. Getting a rep in the Pennsylvania area very soon, which is very exciting. So maybe we can do some like tap takeovers. We can get in touch with that beer rep and maybe do some stuff at Little Brown Barrel or Black Diamond.
Or the Washington.
But yeah, we cannot thank you guys enough. Like, you took really good care of us. We're really, you know, awesome that you guys watched the show and sent it. Like, you did not have to go with what you did, but yeah. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Right next to you, Bob, is some of the stickers. If we could show them off a little bit, open up that box.
Yeah, we got a bunch of stickers. I love the can stickers they sent us. We got two pint glasses, which we gave one to the
Black Diamond.
Over to the Black Diamond.
We'll pull it out here quick. So all of us are wearing the shirts now.
But it's great. And then while Tony messes with that, we like I said, we got quite the lineup here. So this is one of the porters now. That smells holy crap. That smells fantastic.
So it says here, Bangin' Beers, guys. It was fun listening to your podcast. Thank you so much for your support. Here's some TG swag to rock on your next episode. Cheers. And they gave us a Zealander sticker, a bunch of beer labels. We got Golden Nugget. We got Hop Smack. I love this one. The Fire Skulls. Rover Truck. 1492. The Mighty 90. Or the Naughty 90, and then the Sudosu.
So any of you will listen to audio, you can check this out. I feel like this is when you watch, like, listen to a stand-up album, they're like, they're doing, like, the guy does something, and you're like, oh, man, what's he doing?
And then they
like, oh, and you hear everyone laughing.
It's like, well, why did I listen?
He gave us a cool sticker sheet, too, with a bunch of dinosaurs and a bunch of cool stuff. There is one other sticker they gave us, but I put it on the table. It's right in front of me. It looks like the Rosie Riveter.
Oh, yeah.
The top one, Goliath Brewing
Company.
The Galactic.
Warrior.
Yeah, I love that one so much. I was like, I'm sticking that one on the table.
So holy shit. So we're getting into the section of the episode that Tony may or may not be okay with.
Well.
The first one we got is Utu. I don't know how it's pronounced. There's a tilde over the O, so I don't know how that works in Estonian.
yeah, I'm not used to seeing them over vowels.
Yeah, right. It was really used to like Spanish when it's over like N's. All right, what we got? So the first thing I'm going to say, though, before you even read this description is fucking Yingling chocolate porter.
Yeah, it
sorry,
it,
Yingling.
It immediately...
That smells amazing.
It immediately smells... So I just had... I bought a flight yesterday and bought a stout in my flight. So I'm progressing tremendously in my dark beer game. It was a fudge stout from Snitz Creek. And smelling that, I was like, oh, this smells like if you took a fudge bar and slathered it in chocolate syrup. This is right there with it. This smells like dark chocolate fudge.
Yeah.
I hope it translates.
So again, hopefully this is not butchering the pronunciation too badly, but O2 from Pohjola Brewing of Tallinn, Estonia. This is considered an American porter. It comes in at 5.5% ABV. This has been checked in 19,000 times and averages a 3.56. I have 24 friend check-ins where it averages a 3.73.
They're wrong.
An easygoing porter brewed with oats and rye, bursting with vanilla and chocolate flavors. The taste should be sweet caramel malts jump out first, with red berries and hints of smooth morning coffee following. A light nuttiness and toffee follows, with huge chocolate notes coming in, all washed down with a creamy vanilla finish. The appearance should be jet black with a brief brown head. And the nose is listed as rich chocolate and hazelnut jump out with coffee and vanilla following, and just a hint of birch forest in the background. This uses Munich malts, flaked oats, Cara Pale malts, Cara 150 malt, Cara 300 malt, Carafa 2 special malt, chocolate malt, birch smoked rye malt, and lactose. And it is hopped with Magnum and First Gold. And in Estonian, the name of that beer is Evening. The flavor profile is listed as coffee, chocolate, malty, watery, and raspberry.
I don't know if anyone watching video, Tony just actually poured himself extra of this.
Yeah, one. I took a bigger sip and I wanted to try it again. So the second sip.
Cheers,
I did,
last beer.
Yeah,
last thanks for hanging out with us, my
he
friend.
He said he has to had stuff by them before, and nice. He enjoyed them.
Oh, and actually, I forgot. I practiced this. Hopefully, I don't mess it up too much. But if anyone from Estonia is out there watching or listening, Tervisex.
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 Cheers.
Cheers.
Tervisex.
You got to do the what's the Italian? Tap the table.
You tap the table.
Is that Italian or is that Irish or is that just everything?
Just everything. Okay. I think.
That's fantastic.
Holy shit. This is so good. Like, it's got that chocolatiness too. And then when you let it linger a little bit, you do get those toffee notes and stuff. And it's super easy on the mouthfeel as well. I honestly can't even tell there's lactose in it.
I'm not sure if I'm getting raspberry from it or if I'm getting raspberry from the last one.
I'm not getting any raspberry. So
I am on the back side,
like very faint. I get it. It's not like
I can see that.
Yeah,
it's kind of mixing in with the hazelnut.
Yeah,
and then to me, I would consider it more like a raspberry cream kind of.
I can see that. Yeah. Holy shit, dude! This is so good, and it's super light too. Like, it's not heavy at all because it was a porter, so it should be a little bit lighter. But wow! Like I said, literally the first thing I thought is like. Sorry, Yingling, but Yingling chocolate porter, what's that? As soon as I tasted this, it's so good.
Real quick, too.
And there's no actual chocolate in it.
I do have a shame.
It's just with the chocolate malt and stuff. Yeah. So it's all malt. It's not, there's no actual chocolate adjunct in there that's listed. So that's even more amazing.
Yeah, I do have a quick shameless plug or maybe call to action here. So last episode we did, we had a very good response on the audio side and had a pretty large number. If you have not already done so, please head over to our YouTube page and give us a subscribe. We're currently at 80 subscribers, and if we get like a quarter of what listened to the episode last time, just to go over and subscribe to our YouTube, we get to at least the 100 mark, where we can make our own URL tab, and I believe we get a social page on there. So like, obviously we use Facebook a lot, we use that stuff a lot, but YouTube will give you like almost like a news feed that you can make posts and you can put like pictures, like same thing we're doing on Instagram and everything, we could put on YouTube. And if you guys can help us out with at least 20 subscribes and help us get to that mark, that'd be great. Like I said, tell more friends. Our goal by the end of this year is try to get closer to 1,000. So if you guys can share the word and let people know about it, or if you are listening, that's kind of our little podcast goal. So yeah, it's only a little shameless thing I got going on there.
All right, so I'm gonna pass this next one around, the Must Cold.
Hershey Porter is for as a craft beer for people who don't drink craft beer.
That's true.
No, you're not wrong. All kidding aside, I believe that's the target demographic and standard beer drinkers. I believe the same thing with the Raging Mango. Raging Eagle.
Raging Eagle is such a
If you're not a craft beer drinker, people love it. But if you're someone who's had different mangoes.
I don't personally know anyone that actually really likes it.
I met a lot.
Really?
A lot of people really, really, really enjoyed it.
I think they overdid the mango because the ABV is the highest one that they brew. So I think
it's seven?
They were trying to hide any kind of bite, I think, by just overdoing the mango.
Yeah.
And try to.
Still not into it. Sorry, Yingling.
That's Brett from the Cake Stand. Brett, what's up, man? Yeah. Brett, we got to get with you soon. So we have a few episodes lined up that we want to do, but we want to do very, very soon. We want to do local places. So we're going to do one from Cake Stand. We want to do the Courthouse in Frackville, the Craft House. We want to where you guys pick a lineup of beers and we'll buy three or four or five of them and then do an episode, but say this is where we get them. But we want to get it that week. So we can say, this is what we just bought. Go get them now. But we want to show some love to the businesses. My beer burp started kicking in. So let me know, and we'll set that up very soon.
That's ironic you mentioned, Brett. I actually finally met him for the first time last week.
Nice. Yeah?
One of my friends attends bar at the Elks Lodge in Tamaqua on Thursday nights, and I don't quite make it every week, but I try to stop in a couple times a month. And he was there at the bar when I came in.
Yeah.
Nice.
Look at that fucking bad boy.
Dude, that dark brown head is this is another fucking Jesus Christ, dude.
What was that last ABV on that last one?
5.5.
Okay.
This one's 7.8.
All right. So what do we got?
And again, hopefully I'm not butchering the pronunciation too bad. Must Cold. Again, from the Bojala Brewery of Tallinn, Estonia. This is considered a other porter. It comes in at 7.8% ABV, and it's listed at 45 IBUs. This has been checked in just shy of 50,000 times, and it averages a 3.78. I have 54 friend check-ins, and it averages a 3.9. A rich porter with smooth honey notes. Brewed with lactose for that extra silky texture. Enjoy on its own or as a dessert at the end of a decadent meal. Contains barley malt and lactose. They list the taste as with the aroma, chocolate will come through first and foremost. This time a creamy white chocolate. Balancing this is a suggestion of delicate coffee with a decadent hint of raspberry and black currant. The appearance should be jet black with a crema-like head. The nose is listed as the aroma of smooth milk chocolate will pour out of the bottle when opened, quickly followed by both honey and blackcurrant jam. This uses pale malt, Munich malt, Cara pale malt, Crystal 50 malt, Crystal 150, Crystal 200, Carafa Type 2 special malt, chocolate malt, and lactose. And it's hopped with Magnum and Goldings. And in Estonian, the name translates to black gold.
I agree.
The flavor profile is listed as coffee, dark, smooth, sweet, and rich.
This is awesome.
Okay. Is this a porter or a stout?
It's a porter.
Porter. This might be my favorite porter I've ever had in my life.
Like there is those like jam like sweetnesses to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like a little bit of that.
A little bit of coffee on the back end. When I breathe out after I drink it, I get the coffee.
I feel like I'm not rich enough to drink this. Like I feel like this is only reserved for like kings.
This is amazing.
I feel like the common man shouldn't be drinking this. This is really good.
One thing I want to bring up, and Bob, you might know the answer since you know a lot of things, but the 11.2 full ounce bottles, like the bottles are 11.2. I think the cans are
11.2.
Also 11.2. Like when you get Guinness, it's like 14.7 ounce cans. But it doesn't translate to a liter.
I could be wrong. This is just my take on things. When you're in a situation with Guinness or whatever, they use the old English Imperials.
Okay.
These guys have been metric.
It's 11.2. It doesn't translate to like an even number of a liter.
But that's what
it's like a third of a liter.
the only thing I can think of is basically like a shipping logistics thing. If they pay by weight,
maybe,
and shaving off those couple ounces makes a world of difference.
Maybe, but that's always maybe like the total case.
Yeah,
it comes out to an even number or something.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm gonna try that real quick.
And Brett, let me know too if you're ever free on a Sunday too. We'd love to have you at the table and come hang out with us again.
But because like I noticed that too, like with the new like Nutrail has the 19.2 ounce cans. Yeah. It's like, why is it 19.2 ounces? All right, I'm gonna do some math here real quick. So, drink local. Oh no, it's one of the top in Goliath. Nice. So this is so good. Like I can't. Like I wonder if we're gonna get to one of those that's like good, better.
Or just this one
possible.
But no, I think they're on the same par though too. Like I think they're just fantastic beers. But we got for you get some beer news this week, Billy?
Not necessarily news, just an update on the brackets.
There's been some crazy stuff going on the brackets and breweries in PA.
I feel bad that I think that one of them is an upset just because I didn't think too many people knew of them. But then I look at their two seed. So like,
yeah,
they're killing it.
Yeah. So as of at least 4 hours ago, because they started blocking the live numbers because people apparently figured
you could cheat.
So people were figuring out how
seriously
to,
people
come back.
It's a fucking fun bracket.
It's a fun bracket. And like every brewery seems to be like really rooting for the other breweries. Like,
yeah. All right. So just real quick though. So there's 268.8 ounces if we go by case size of 24, but does not translate to an even number of a liter either. It's like 7.95. Maybe it's close to 8 liters. Maybe that's where it goes into. But well, anyway, what we got, Billy?
I don't know what the numbers are now, but they posted an update 4 hours ago. So Lost Tavern had 4,120 votes against, they're going against Voodoo, who had 4,250. Then Evergreen had 4,698 versus Four Scores, 4,976. Levante had 4,932, and Poor Man's, which is an 11 seed, had 4,789.
Ooh. All right. So,
and then New Trail, 5,303, and Second Sin, 5,289.
Wow.
Didn't they post the overall numbers of how many people participated?
It's been over 300,000.
Yeah,
they crazy. Said that if we get the 500,000, they're going to do some kind of giveaway.
That's awesome. Well, I also want to say thank you. Not only did I have an amazing day with Toppling Goliath sending us stuff, but Matt from Breweries of Pennsylvania reached out and he just really complimented the show and our work ethic and how we're doing. And it meant a lot because we look up to that brand. Like that Breweries of Pennsylvania is, in our opinion, they're the top dog, man. They kill it with the beer news and keeping people current in the area. So for them to reach out and just really give us kind words, and it meant truly, truly a lot to us. We're very fond of what you guys do, and anything we can do to help, we try. Like we share your posts and your news because you're just doing an amazing job. So hopefully very, very soon we can get with them and record something. What?
I just saw the ABV on the beer after this next
one. Oh, so yeah. Once again, thank you also to Matt and every, like if you're a beer drinker or you're a beer fan, even if you're not in Pennsylvania, go follow Breweries of Pennsylvania. Their Facebook page and their website is absolutely fantastic, and they do a fantastic, really, really good job.
They've got a pretty good community too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the community page on Facebook is a lot of fun.
Did we talk about Stegmeyer last week?
No,
I don't think we did
not.
So for
let's tag on to the beer news.
Yep.
Or do you want to go do our picks quick on what we want to say, and then we'll talk to us about Stegmeyer?
Yeah.
Let's do that quick.
Finish the segment. Sorry for interrupting.
No, that's all right. No, I know it's good. We completely glossed over that because that's something that we really are into. So, all right. So we got Lost Tavern versus Voodoo. Sorry, Voodoo. Lost Tavern versus Voodoo. What you got, Billy?
I got Lost Tavern.
Lost Tavern.
Same.
I'll stick with Lost Tavern.
I'm going to go Lost Tavern as well.
Like, they're both really good breweries, but like,
yeah, we really didn't mean that they're doo-doo. That was just,
I think that like, just because Lost Tavern is essentially in our backyard,
yes,
for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, rooting for the home team. Like, rooting for the home team.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, next we got Evergreen versus Four Score. That one's a difficult one.
This is honestly my hardest decision because I've been voting for both back and forth each day.
Yeah.
Like I know I'm not helping one win, but I'm like, I can't, I don't think I can pick.
It's like that joke where it's like your mom and your girlfriend are hanging off a cliff. And who do you save? Like, yeah. this is tough. They're both fantastic.
Every time I voted the other way, four scores come out on top. I'm going with them. They beat the odds every week.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go four score too.
I'm going to go Evergreen just because we have one of their beers on the table today. But I can go either way. I love them.
Yeah, both. I could honestly go either way. I'm going to go four score though, just because I love Gettysburg so much.
I'm not going to be realistically any of them. I'm not going to be angry if someone loses out of these or someone wins over somebody else.
I love going to Gettysburg, but I really, really look forward to going to Gettysburg now because we know, you know, it's like Gettysburg. Four score.
We're going.
Yep. And now we're going to hit Brewery Fire.
Like 10 minutes away. We can go to Maryland and get Brewery Fire. Gettysburg just got so much more fun this summer.
But you got Evergreen or four score, Bob? Did you already say it?
Yeah.
Oh, you already said four score.
Four score.
That's right. New Trail, Second Sin. I'm going New Trail because I honestly do not know Second Sin.
New Trail was losing big time for a little bit there. And they closed the gap.
Yep. I'd probably go New Trail too. I don't think I've had anything. Maybe we had a Second Sin collab with somebody, but
New Trail variety packs.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know what would be that's why an awesome conclusion to all this? And it's because I truly feel at the brewery, everyone goes heavy on New Trail. Like everyone thinks New Trail is top dog. It'd be very interesting to see in the very final bracket New Trail versus Evergreen. Because I've been saying for a minute, I said, people who, if you like New Trail, go try an Evergreen beer because I think they're in the same tier. And the fact that they're both this close to possibly going against each other to take it all in Pennsylvania is very exciting.
It's only a 14 vote difference right now between New Trail and Second Sin.
Wow. With Second Sin winning?
New Trail's currently winning by 14.
Wow.
Yep.
So it is a close race.
Holy shit.
And the voting closes tonight at 8 p.m.
I'd still go with New Trail.
Yep.
I'll go New Trail just because I want to see that New Trail Evergreen battle at the end.
All right, and last we got Levante and Poor Man's.
I'm going Poor Man's.
I've never had anything. No,
yeah, we did a show on Poor Man's.
We did a Poor Man's show.
Like I'm so happy.
That had the Notorious IPA.
Poor Man's is dope. I like Poor Man's. Yeah, we'll go. Oh, the Fresh Prince one too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Poor Man's is good.
Yeah, so I'm going to be the odd man out. I'm going to go with Levante.
You're going Levante? All right.
We've had Levante on the show too, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, actually, so Rish is getting her tattoo finished on Tuesday. So in Royersford, same artist that does mine. And we are going to probably go to the King of Prussia Mall briefly. And my goal is Rish could do a shop and I'm going to go post up at the new Levante station in the King of Prussia Mall.
Nice.
That's my goal for that day. So, but this next one we've got here is from Poyala. Peel and Bean Imperial Porter with cacao nibs and orange zest. What we got there, Bob?
So again, peel and bean.
At least this one we can read.
We won't fuck this
from,
one.
Poyala Brewing of Tallinn, Estonia. This is considered an imperial or double porter. This one comes in at 8.5% ABV and it's listed at 25 IBUs. It's been checked in just shy of 4,000 times. Where it averages a 3.73. I have zero friend check-ins on this. And unfortunately, this does not have the elaborate write-up, so I'm assuming that someone from outside the brewery did it. But a rye porter brewed with cacao nibs and orange zest. Flavor profiles listed as roasty, dark, orange, coffee, and rich.
Rich, that's Rich's brother.
That smells amazing.
Dude, this tastes like one of those chocolate oranges, but it gets you drunk.
I found a podcast. I made a post in this one group. Twitter has a lot of things I follow. It's like, hey, do you have any good podcast recommendations? Or people go out there. Like, there's just the one guy. I mean, I should probably shout him out because he's been fucking so nice to us on Twitter. Ian, I believe it is. Ian Bitdead. His bio says husband, father of two, podcast listener / promoter from Manchester United. Nice. And it says Metallica and heavy metal fan. So this is why I guess he likes us so much, because you guys are all metalheads too. But he always makes posts saying like, here's my podcast, my top podcast I listen to. And he's always tagging us and showing us love, which is super dope, man.
Appreciate it.
He's got a nice following too. He's got like almost like he has more than us following him, 4,000 some people. And for him to give us that shout out means a lot. But I met another podcast through him, and it's called Beard Al, or Beard Al Podcast, and they drink beer and talk Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, I'm
on board.
I love that. So I did message him and said, whenever you guys have an opening, let me know. We want to collaborate.
Yeah,
we want to drink beer and talk Weird Al.
Yeah, I love Weird Al. I cannot wait to see the movie putting out. Yep. Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al.
That's Weird Al.
Yeah, and it's also written by Weird Al.
Yep. Yeah. So go check them out. It's B-E-R apostrophe D, like Beard A-L podcast. So go check them out. Their logo is a pint of beer with Weird Al hair attached to it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Then I feel like improv and that kind of stuff. Another, I don't know if it was on IFC a while ago. They ran the show Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah.
He was the band leader for like the last season.
Oh, nice.
Of the show. So there's a podcast too. And then, so they made like a talk show.
Nice.
So he would have actual celebrities on, but then have other improvisers on as characters.
Did he have a TV show back in the day? Or was it just a movie?
No, he based his stuff off of what was it?
He had a movie though, right?
Oh, UHF.
Yeah,
UHF. It was just ridiculousness.
But it was because
Dr. Demento?
Yeah,
I think it was.
Yep. Because he said he got, so on Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, he'll come on and guest because he's friends with the host. And he joked that he changed his name now from Weird Al to Weirdo Al because Dr. Demento changed his name to just
Dr. D.
Dr. Dement and then gave him the O.
Oh, I like that. Dr. D's a wrestler, wasn't he?
Dr. Death.
Yeah, I think Dr.
Steve
Death.
Williams.
Yeah, Steve Williams.
What's the thing in there, Bob?
I think this is fucking amazing.
Yeah. I'm just so happy I taste chocolate in beer now.
Yeah, right?
Dude, I didn't taste chocolate forever.
The orange is not overpowering. It's like I said, I think it's like an alcoholic, one of those chocolate oranges you get.
I always criticize people like, yo, if you don't like the beer, like, don't force yourself, but like, give it more opportunities because your taste buds will change.
Yep.
Dude, I'm 4 years into this fucking podcast. Every single dark beer tastes like coffee to me, and that coffeeiness is slowly going away, and I'm pulling more chocolate out.
Yep. Dude, and like, well, it came up, there was some fucking dude posted on the group, Brews and PA group this week. It was a pickle beer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where was it? I don't remember the brewery.
No. Yeah. It was a pickle sour.
Yeah. Pickle sour from a brewery in, I think, Philly, I want to say.
And he didn't like it because it tastes like pickles.
He posted it about, and he gave it like a 0.5 or something on tap, posted it on there. And then everyone, basically the community was like, so you're going to talk shit on a beer you admittedly don't like the flavor of to start with.
Yeah. because he didn't like sours. Well, or pickles.
Yeah.
But you order a pickle sour.
There's, dude. Oh, shit. What is
that? I think that's weird because, like, I haven't had a pickle beer that I didn't like, but I honestly don't think I could drink more than one or two at a sitting before I would have to switch to something else.
Yeah, but imagine going in and being like, I don't like pickles, and I don't like sours.
I'm doing this. I'm doing this just to be an ass wife. Yeah.
It's like it was one of those posts. Like, I don't think this is gonna go the way you think it's gonna go.
And I think it was like breweries in PA even commented.
Yeah, they're like, that's exactly what they said.
They were like, we were thinking of taking this post down, but we figured we would leave it up.
They wanted to be like, because this is how not to use Untappd.
Yes. Yep.
And that's the thing about Untappd, why a lot of people like don't like Untappd, because people do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've stopped doing that. I never really did it to begin with. I did it. The only beer I've really rated negatively was Yuengling Flight, because I fucking hate it.
I love it.
Because I just wanted I wanted them to do something adventurous.
But as it does its good job.
I get it.
It did its job. It's pulling people away from Michelob Ultra.
Yeah, Miller, I mean, it did its job. But area, I'm like, God damn it, dude. You could have done something cool.
But
I get markets. I gotta make money.
But you can look at it as, if that continues to do well and they make that money, they can just then do random things because they have that.
Because the thing is, like, and like Tony said it many times before, especially when before he was starting to get into the stouts, that, you know, I'm gonna rate it for what it is, not what I like.
Yeah.
And that's where you're real. That's how Untappd should be.
Or you check it in to say, like, I had it, but you don't give it a score.
Exactly. Because if you hate it for subjective reasons versus objective reasons, then don't rate it. Because like if you go like, hey, this beer is supposed to taste like an oatmeal cream pie, and I hate those, but it tastes exactly like one, and I'm gonna give it a one. But if it tastes like an oatmeal cream pie, even though I hate them, I'm like, oh shit, they did it.
Well, it just like, and then
I hate this beer too.
Wolf like, did that for me with a key lime pie at Brewfest.
Man,
yeah, it's like,
speaking of that, real quick, Brewfest winner of last year's Brewfest, Snitz Creek, with their chocolate, peanut butter cream pie beer,
yeah,
cream ale, is going to be on tap very, very soon at the place.
So yes,
if you miss out a chance to taste that beer, they are making it and putting it on tap.
It's coming back. We were trying to rally to wait. Hey, what keg do we have to kick to be able to get that on today?
Yes,
but I guess they didn't actually have it on site yet. So,
but it is being made and it will be available very soon. So the beer that won Brewfest will be available to purchase.
Yes. Yeah, actually, to sidestep back to the Snitz Creek story again, for all the people in Lebanon that were like, I didn't see you motherfuckers there. We were actually at the Anvil location. We were not at the original brewery in Lebanon.
Should have been clear with that, I guess. Yeah. Our bad.
Wait, did people show up to the Lebanon one? Thought we were going to be there?
Who knows? I don't know. That'd be cool.
I mean, but no. I mean, it's very possible that there's people listening right now that were there yesterday and are like, I didn't see any of those guys there. Where the fuck were they?
We were in the secret room.
We were at the old, it was an old Funk's restaurant near the Indian Town Gap. And yeah, it was great. Which the Indian Town Gap was it a lager?
It was really good. It was almost like an Oktoberfest. It was very heavily with the malt and the Marzen. I didn't get my show beer done yet. I'm slacking.
Yeah, Bob and Tony are slacking on there. Holy shit! That port buzzy. But anyway, so we're working our way through these here. Tony is taking the turn on dark beers, which is great.
These are all fantastic.
This last one, Peel and Bean. Now this next one, Prime. I don't even know how to pronounce this because it's just two O's with umlauts over it, like Motley Crue. So,
I will say this: if their porters are this dark and this like creamy, I don't even want to know what their actual stouts are like.
Well, you're gonna find out because this is an imperial stout that comes at 13.6% ABV. So,
who just made a beer? Is it Trogs?
Troganator. Yes, we need to get that. The barrel aged triple Troganator.
And they're saying it's 14 or 15?
It's 14. They put Triple Nader out last year, and I didn't get to have it. Did you guys have a Triple Nader?
No.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to get down to the brewery, but they're doing bourbon barrel aged Triple Nader that's coming out, I guess, this week, I think. But holy shit, dude. The bourbon barrel aged Troganator was amazing.
Yep.
That is one of their best barrel ages.
Yeah, that too was one of my dad's favorites.
Yeah, so while we get this, so Bob brought us a lavender vodka from Silo Distributing, Silo Distillery? Yeah. Is that the name that we decide that's what the name
distilling
is?
Distilling or distillery?
Silo Distillery.
All right. So this is from Windsor, Vermont.
There's a pretty good write-up on the back of the bottle.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll take care of that while you guys do that. So lavender, a perennial plant in the mint family, has been a style throughout the world for over 3,000 years as a delicately sophisticated aroma and flavor. Widely thought to have calming properties, this vibrant flower was commonly found in the homes of European royalty. Even Queen Marie Antoinette of France often used it to keep her head. It didn't work.
Fail, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't really work out for her, did it? So made with our award-winning vodka distilled from local Vermont corn and infused with lavender, the spirit delivers a uniquely fresh palate with notes of honey and vanilla that blooms into a relaxing floral experience. So I'm very interested to try this because I don't love vodka, because vodka is a neutral spirit. So like when I see people that drink vodka straight, I'm like, why?
Seen the other kit bottle opener, the long handled one, the Trogs one? Not the Haze Charmer, the hop haze. It's a hop.
No, it's somewhere around. I'm not sure where it is.
Stuff gets lost in this table because it's so...
It's cluttered.
Yeah, Nugget Nectar.
The Nugget Nectar one, yeah.
All right, so I'm very curious about this because that's probably way too much. But whatever.
There it is.
So this is a lavender vodka. Like I said, I don't love vodkas. Because I don't love neutral spirits.
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised with this.
I would say that my two favorite spirits-wise is probably vodka and tequila.
Vodka and tequila?
Yeah.
What are your two favorites, Bob?
Always the single malts first, and actually probably rum would be second.
Rum is second.
But I have a thing about vodka though, like the new wave of the craft vodkas, specifically Grey Goose. I despise that.
Oh well, people think Grey Goose is shit vodka in a fancy bottle.
Well, to me, vodka is something that Eastern European peasants made with whatever potatoes they had left over that were too rotten to eat, and vodka should always have some kind of middle or lower class feel to it, and there should always be a bite from vodka. That vodka should never be smooth.
No.
We just had a craft distillery from, I think they're out of Pennsylvania, that, what is it, the Lightning, or they have them at Pilgrim and they have it at Snitz. What are they called?
Barber?
No, Lightning something.
Dead Lightning.
Dead Lightning?
Or something like that, I think.
They make a bunch of different flavored vodkas. Or whiskeys. Flavored whiskeys.
Yep.
And yesterday, Rish...
Oh, yeah, she was telling us about it.
Rish had one. They told us during the tour that they do it where they mix the marshmallow and the peanut butter ones together, and it's like a fluffernutter. And I took a sip of Rish's shot. Holy Hannah, that was pretty delicious. That was a strong marshmallow.
That's somewhere in the not-too-distant future. Back to Insurrection, I have a roasted marshmallow vodka from them too.
Oh, nice.
You want to stick that in the back just so it's out of the way?
But so all right. So like I said, I don't love vodka. Just because like I said, I like spirits. My top two are gonna be whiskey and gin. I'm gonna use whiskey as a broad term because obviously like I love single malt scotches.
I'm a big fan of gin too. I'm all about the juniper.
I'll have to maybe next show I'll bring the barrel aged gin I have from Eight Oaks. I'll do that next week, so we can try that out.
You know, if I remember right, Eight Oaks is not a standard gin because they go out of their way to concentrate more on the citrus notes in gin than they do on the juniper.
Yeah, and
it's still not bad. It's
different.
Exactly.
And this one, so I actually bought this. It's actually aged in Chardonnay barrels, and I bought it because one of my favorite cocktails, because I'm a James Bond nerd, is the Vesper. So the Vesper is 3 measures of gin, 1 of vodka, 1/2 ounce of Quina Lillet, and you garnish it with a long, thin slice of lemon peel. So it's a very citrus-forward martini. And I thought, hey, this is awesome, and holy shit, does it make a good Vesper. Because you can't get Quina Lillet anymore. They don't make it anymore. So Lillet Blanc's the closest you can get to... Well, that's this winery was. So... Quina Lillet is a citrus wine with what's it called? Quinine in it. So it had that like bitterness like a tonic does. So the closest thing you get, it's a Cochi Americano. It's a like an Italian one that you can get. I had a friend find me it in New York. So I have that to make Vespers, and it's fantastic. And this barrel aged gin, just the citrus notes on it, just make it whole. It comes out really good. Awesome. So all right, we got this vodka.
I'm a fan. I like it.
It smells like a tattoo shop.
It does. It does got that vodka bite. But the lavender is not overly lavender, but it's a nice like hint to it. I could actually see making like a Tom Collins with this and do like a... Is gin Tom Collins or vodka?
I don't know.
Shit. Either way, lemonade mixed with this would be fucking awesome.
Yeah. it would definitely have to be mixed for me.
But
it's like drinking
this isn't bad though. To like the thing about like when people are like, oh, give me vodka on the rocks, I'm like, why? Like it just doesn't taste like anything.
It tastes like I'm sterilized now.
It does taste like a cleaning agent, but
yeah, it's like a,
but it's not bad.
If you're into lavender, you'll love it.
Your liver will thank you later.
Yeah, this is gonna clean me out.
Yeah, that's exactly what every tattoo shop smells like. That hint of lavender and sterilization.
It's not overtly burny though.
But it does. After it goes down, it's modest, but it's still very.
Yeah, it's got that chest warming. Yeah. Well, like right now, like, and this is from Vermont, like vodkas right now, because there's a whole thing because of the whole Russia thing going on, that oh, PLCB is not gonna sell Russian anything anymore. I'm like, but you fucks already bought it.
Yeah. So like, they
like literally the money's just going to your pocket. Yeah, it's
so
like
they so
yeah, yeah. If you're gonna boycott, just don't order
stop
more.
Buying
yeah.
Buying it.
Yeah.
Like that's the way to do it. Like if you already have it, like the money that I'm paying for whatever Russian vodka this is going to the PLCB. It's not going to Russia because you already guys already paid them.
Yeah. So just don't reorder.
But I don't drink Russian vodka anyway. Like my usually go to is Stoli.
I was gonna say, and actually, if you look at the labels, I think every bottle of Stoli I bought in the last 10 years was actually made in Lithuania.
They're made in Latvia, actually. Or Lithuania and Latvia, so yeah. So they're not actually made in Russia. Stolichnaya is not made in Russia. Mm-hmm. And then Smirnoff's made in like the US.
Yeah.
So.
my go to is Tito's.
Tito's?
Yep.
Tito's?
Yeah, they're in Austin.
Yeah, they're Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're an American vodka. But yeah. I honestly don't really buy vodka. Like
I don't really like I have a bottle at home just
Because I mean I do it to round out my liquor cabinet. Yep. But yeah, Stoli's usually my go to, and I'm like, all right, it's Latvian. Sweet. But all right, this next one we got here from Prime. Ooh, I don't.
I'm not going to be much help on pronunciation. The only thing I can tell you is that when you add a umlaut to a vowel, that is supposed to represent like the letter E following that vowel. So,
so it'd be like O-O?
O-E-O-E.
O-E-O-E.
Which yeah, I'm still not going to try and.
Say. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Pime or Pime.
O-E-O-E-O-E.
Pime. O-E-O-E. Either way, it's two O's with umlauts, so it's double Motley Crue. What we got, Bob?
So, Pime U, I guess, from the Pujala Brewing Company from Tallinn, Estonia. This is considered an imperial or double stout. This is the big boy of the night so far. This comes in at 13.6% ABV.
Doesn't drink like it.
And 60 IBUs. It's been checked in slightly over 14,000 times, where it averages a 4.06. I have 22 friend check-ins where it averages a 4.24, and I actually have a highlight.
Nice.
So this is from Max Tepkiv. Chocolate hits the nose first, then coffee aromas come through. Syrupy sweet body delivers taste of plum that's slowly changing to the chocolate sweetness, and then treacle in the very end. Hides ABV as a magician. Gorgeous. Did a bit too sweet for me.
That hides the ABV as a magician is spot the fudge on.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm going to go on to the brewery's actual write-up for it. An imperial stout brewed for the longest night of the year. Syrupy yet smooth, sweet yet strong. The best way to enjoy deepest winter and brood over the darkness in life. For the taste, they say black currants and rich sticky plums rise up on the tongue, followed by hints of jasmine and kola nut. A hint of carbonation cleanses the palate before the sensation of layered toffee, chocolate brownie, and treacle finishes up. The appearance should be darkest black with a light brown oily head. And they say the nose is rich decadent chocolate cake, sweet licorice, fine Kenyan coffee, and sticky jam dominate the nose, inviting you to journey deeper.
I poured first.
The malts, pale Munich Special B, Crystal 300, Crystal 150, Crystal 200, Carafa Type 2 Special, and chocolate malt. This also has chocolate rye malt and oats in it. It is hopped with Magnum and Northern Brewer, and the Pime U, or however we decide to say that in Estonian, that means dark night.
Batman. It's Batman.
And, love it. Dark night, not like night.
Yeah, like it's dark at night. Yeah, dark night. But
not K night, but N night.
Bummer.
The flavor profile is listed as sweet, dark, heavy, thick, and coffee.
Holy shit. So this does not taste like 13.6%.
No,
that
not
is
at all.
It is very sweet. This is a fantastic dessert stout.
Oh my.
I had this, right? Like, I'm not going crazy. I poured it first, right?
I think so, because you handed it to me.
Let me just double check.
There's a whole lot I got to get a little...
Yeah, that's exactly what I just had.
Yeah.
Yeah, chocolate, toffee.
Yep.
Touch of coffee. Faintest of booziness on the finish.
Yeah, it's just, it does not drink like a 13%er.
No.
You know what this is kind of reminding me of? I only had a few of them, and every time I had them, I don't like stouts. And when I had these from this place, I thought they were fucking fantastic. Bottle Logic from Anaheim, California, make amazing stouts, and those stouts are so sought after that people trade them for big bucks. But they're not easy to come by, and they're really, really good. This reminds me of Bottle Logic. Like, their stouts are just, these stouts are just so good in their presentation and what they do.
This, holy shit, like, this is wow. Like, I could not drink a lot of this.
Hats off to the magician.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like I said, there is no hint. I don't get the boozy at all from the 13% but it is very sweet. I could not drink a lot of these, but this is what I would be looking for in a dessert beer in the winter.
Yeah, and it's good that you can't drink a lot of them.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. Yeah,
like, all right, let's make this like, super
hey,
sweet.
I just had so six 13.7%ers. Yeah. Oh,
yeah, that'd be a nice sipper around the fire at night.
Yes, yeah, like a snifter, like hold it, let it warm up to your hand. Ooh,
so, let's get back to the whole Stegmeier.
Yeah. Thing. Let's go to that.
So Stegmeier got bought out by Lion's Head, or the Lion Brewery, and then they were kind of not brewing their stuff because I don't think we got any of the Stegmeier pumpkin this year. That was non-existent, and the only thing we were really getting was the IPA, and then
which the Stegmeier pumpkin is one of my favorite pumpkins.
That's I know
and
we said
I don't
that.
Love pumpkin beers.
I know. I know we said that we're
like
not
18
doing
$18 a case.
We're not doing pumpkin beers, but honestly, I think this fall, if that does come back out now,
we'll do one episode.
We'll do one episode of just the Stegmeier pumpkin.
We're not doing the whole month again.
No.
Well, Fody asked if he can guest on
and
the
he's already been dibbed for that episode. Because he is a basic white bitch, he said.
So the Stegmeier name is now back with the family.
That's
I don't want to go to waste.
Yeah, for anyone that isn't aware, the people that own Susquehanna Brewing Company are bona fide direct descendants of the Stegmeier Brewing family.
Nice.
And the Lion Brewery decided to stop manufacturing the Stegmeier beers. And they sold the rights to all the Stegmeier names and brands back to the family.
That's awesome.
Susquehanna Brewing Company is going to start making them again.
Nice. Hopefully it keeps its price point.
Yes.
That's my only concern about going to a craft brewery. It's like, can we keep it at $18 for a
I'm day? Sure they still can.
Yeah.
Because...
But like whatever it is, like their Oktoberfest is fantastic. Yep. And so is their pumpkin beer.
Their
like,
pumpkin. And for the price point, the IPA is good too.
Yeah, and like if you anyone who's been watching the show like knows I don't love pumpkin beers, but the Stegmeier one is fantastic.
Yeah. So, that's like I'll buy a whole case of when it's out and I just crank them down.
Yeah, between that and the Oktoberfest, that was one of our I think the Stegmeier pumpkin was one of our hayride beers.
Yes,
too.
It was.
So a bunch of years ago we used to do the South Cass Hayride and we had quite the little assortment. It was awesome. But then the stupid fucking people dressed as clowns always won.
Yeah, but really. But also we were the very first.
Yeah, but so
stop. So
we're gonna run through that real quick. Halloween in March, so it was fun. So South Cass, anyone who's familiar with the area, South Cass, they do an annual hayride at their fire company up in South Cass, and just outside of Minersville. And so they do the Haunted Hayride every year. They've been doing it for like 20 some plus years. So we were in it for a few years that we started and we ended up getting because we weren't hose heads. So we didn't belong to the fire company. We just got in because friends. And so we got the first section and it was Zach as Myers. So we had Zach would just kind of like distract people. And then we got into my section. I was Freddy Krueger. So we made like a bedroom. So we built like a bedroom set that was like flanked in like red lighting and stuff. And then we had like a, we built like a furnace out of like a burn barrel. So it was always like fire just flying, like right before everyone would come, we'd throw like a thing of gasoline into it. So it'd be like, and then everyone was distracted by Zach with Myers. Cause he'd be just kind of like slowly following over the knife. So I would jump up on the wagon as Freddy with my claw and freaking, I just start yelling at people.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's up?
Welcome to my nightmare, bitch.
And then the funniest thing ever is, like, the funniest portion to me was, so the one time I jumped up on the wagon and there was some girl, she was like, just talk, like, little kids talk so much shit.
Yeah.
Like, high school kids are little assholes. So this girl's like,
that's like even elementary school kids anymore.
Yeah, the mouths on some of these kids. And so, like, I jumped up on the wagon and this girl, she drops her phone because I scared her. And then she starts screaming at me, fuck you, you fucking F word I can't say. You made me drop my fucking phone. And I'm like, I just jumped in her face. I swiped the claw at her. I'm like, good for you, little bitch. And I jumped off the wagon.
That's the whole purpose to go to one of those things. Yeah. Get scared.
But then too, it was always fun. Like the last one, we would tell them to leave us know. So we would hop on and then we would ride with them for the whole ride, for the whole rest of it.
Yeah. So we would do it. But what was great. So we did the Freddy spot, and then we did our buddy Bob D was Jason. So we made like a Camp Crystal Lake with like Jason's mom's head and stuff. And then, and with the fire. So it looked like a campground. And it was just like a kind of, I walk at it and don't, and kind of distract you again. And then the last was, we had Leatherface would come out with this 1970s, like this actual chainsaw that used. We took the muffler off of it. He'd come out swinging it. And it was so fucking cool.
Love it.
But then the people dressed as clowns won every year.
Yeah. So I think we should have one more year. Like,
I thought about it. I just do like a
swan song.
But
I like scaring people out when they had
clowns with chainsaws.
Well, they had those too. Yes. It was so lame. Like, it was just shitty. Like,
because they,
we put like so much thought into this, and then we had bought Rite Aid masks, Rite Aid clown masks, and had
like
chainsaws.
Yeah, like
Poland green chainsaws.
Yeah,
got
like new
for like $60.
Yeah, like new chainsaws that were like mostly quiet. Not like
you guys are hurt by this.
It was. I'm pretty upset about it.
It's very traumatizing.
Until
you go up and get all the free food.
Yeah, and it was still a lot of fun. One of the I think what the, so our buddy Mark used to be Leatherface because he's 6'5", but one of the funniest things ever though was so we, like Billy said, we would ride the, we'd jump on it dressed up, ride through the
so you fell on a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I've done that too. I fell on a bunch of people all the time. But one of the funniest things was so we jumped on, we all rode it, so it was Myers and Freddie and Jason riding the wagon, and the way it goes is like it comes out of the woods and through the baseball field to go along, and for some reason, like the way it timed out perfectly was like right as it got to the stop, Mark came out of the shadows with the leather with the chainsaw swinging it around, and it just, everyone like just shit their pants, and it was fucking funny.
We went to one where this girl just, she did the ring and she was a contortionist, and she
got sick.
She got on the wagon, she'd break her back and her dislocate her elbows and knees, and I was just like,
I think it was Rich did that one year, didn't she?
Yeah, they did the, she like walked like upside down.
Yeah, because we made a well out of rocks.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah, we did. Rich did do that. No, I think it was like, Kim.
Yeah, it was Kim.
Yeah, we made a well out of rocks and did the ring at the end of it too.
If you guys are free later on the night at 8 p.m., head over to Last Beer on YouTube. They're going live tonight, so go show some love to those to our boy who was a guest on the episode.
And so while
our ice beer episode.
Yeah, so while we were working through these, we cracked our next show beer, which is from Evergreen.
I did not yet.
Which is Lussis Nature. I don't know how that's pronounced, but
either.
It's that AE combined business. So this is an IPA. What we got, Bob?
Lussis Naturae, which is my take on that. Evergreen Brewing Company of Camp Hill, PA. It's considered a double New England. Comes in at 8.2% ABV. It's been checked in roughly 1,500 times, where it averages a 4.1. I have 12 friend check-ins, where it averages a 4.17. This hazy double IPA features Citra, Nelson Sauvin, and Euconaut for flavors and aromas of grapefruit, lime, sweet tropical fruit, and Sauvignon Blanc grape.
Oh, shit.
The flavor profile is listed as citrusy, tropical, grapefruity, aromatic, and sweet.
This is nice. Sorry for my interruptions, because as I as you were just reading that description, I smelled the this next one that we're gonna do, and I'm like, that smells like scotch. because it's been aged in Scotch barrels. So, oh, I can't wait to try this one. I'm super excited about it. But no, this Evergreen never disappoints. Their distribution's great lately. This is a really nice. This is a double. Yeah. Real nice double hazy. Got those citrus notes in there. It's super. What ABV was this again, Bob?
I'm in the middle of checking it in. I believe 8.2. It was 8.2.
Oof. There's another one that does not drink like 8.2. So this one has, I thought it was an award, but no, you can't go wrong with Evergreen. Like we said, we talked about them a bunch on the show. So good. But the big one we're going to talk about here now is from Poyala Cellar Series. So this is an aged in an Imperial Stout aged in Scotch whiskey barrels from the Islay. So it's going to be peaty. It's got that smokiness to it already, and I haven't even tried this. I just, my first pour here. What we got, Bob?
That was the Islay barrel aged.
Yes.
The Pimayoi Islay barrel aged. This is part of their cellar series again from Poyala Brewing of Tallinn, Estonia. This is considered a imperial or double stout. Takes over first place as big boy of the night at 14% ABV. It's listed at 30 IBUs. It has been checked in roughly 8,000 times, where it averages a 4.17. And I have 8 friend check-ins, where it averages a 4.2. An imperial stout aged in Scotch whiskey barrels from Islay. For the taste, they say immediately warming with malty notes, with tangy red berries and sweet heather honey following, all wrapped up in a package of intense smokiness, best paired with smoked game meats, thunderstorms, and waves crashing against a rocky beach. The appearance should be jet black with a tan brown head. They describe the nose as campfire roasted malt, peat smoke mixed with iodine, whispers of alcohol, almost challenging you to venture further. The malts they use in this are pale, Munich, Carafa Special 2, Special B, Chocolate, Cara 300, and it also has flaked oats and chocolate rye malt. It is hopped with Eldorado and Hellertau Blanc, and the flavor profile is listed as smoky, sweet, rich, smoked, and licorice.
Oh, they don't say what barrels they use.
Islay Scotch.
No, but I mean what?
Oh, which specific distillery? No.
So anyone familiar with Scotch, the Islay Scotches are known for their smokiness. So think Lagavulin, which is Ron Swanson's favorite, Lafraig, I want to say Ardberg, but this combines my two fucking favorite things. Yeah.
Stouts and Scotch.
A smoky ass Scotch and a stout, like, dude. Wow. Like,
yeah.
I want to say it smells like Lagavulin to me. I haven't had some in a few years.
I just feel like I'm out in a campfire with my mouth.
And that's what those good Scotch. They taste like Lagavulin to me.
Not my favorite.
Because like Lagavulin, like the different, like Lafraig, the difference between Lafraig and Lagavulin is like a $50 difference in Scotch bottles. And
Big smoky on the end.
Yeah. Wow. This is Tony's like, I'm out. This does not sell him. Ooh. I absolutely love this. I'm 100%. I'm giving this a 5 because wow.
If that's what you're into, you're gonna love it. If you like that smoke,
if that's what you're into, it definitely is not for everybody.
Like, it's very smoky, and you don't get the ABV.
Does not exist.
No, like it's there.
I didn't get booze. Like, I got chocolate at first, and then it
literally. I'm surprised how sweet it is.
Like, yes, it is very sweet.
If you
lit
a campfire on fire and put it in a glass and just put your mouth over it and let the smoke go into your mouth,
that's Lagavulin.
Yeah, holy hell.
That's a $120 bottle of Scotch right there.
Whew.
I absolutely love this.
That woke me up.
This, I want more of this. This is, like I said, I love stouts. I mean, I don't know about right now, but like it really tastes like Lagavulin to me. I don't know what barrel is used, but Lafraig is also very good. What are you thinking, Bob?
I have to have a Wayne's World moment. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
We suck.
This is just fucking amazing.
I can't. Like, everything. My brain is like, wow. Holy shit, dude.
Everything tonight is incredible. And like, every time you think like this is each beer is a step up again. It's just like, I'm like having vocabulary lapses. I can't even phrase it correctly.
So
we're speaking Estonian.
This is the first stout I've ever had aged in a Scotch barrel. I love Scotch. It's my number one whiskey.
I love Scotch. Scotch.
All right, Scotch. Here it goes down into my belly. But like, Scotch is my number one whiskey. I absolutely love single barrel. I don't like blends. Like Johnny Walker, fuck that shit. I mean, it's fine, but like, I love a good single malt. And like, my go-to is usually a Macallan 12 year.
That Macallan 10 was what got me started.
Yeah, Macallan 10 is also very good. Macallan 18, actually, no, Macallan 15 is the only one I didn't love. And I think it's because the barrels they aged in. And I can't remember what they were, but I'm like, shit, I paid $120 for this bottle and I don't really love it. But usually that, and that's also, I don't have the money to spend on that. But people would usually give me a bunch of liquor store gift cards from work for Christmas. So I'd be like, all right, that bottle only cost me $40 now. But, Lagavulin, like, I once you discover the smoky scotches, like those Islay, however you pronounce it,
pretty sure it's Islay.
So the smoked peat, because they smoke the malt they use with a peat, and which is very abundant in the Scotland and Ireland, and it adds, like, literally it's like drinking a campfire, which some people might love that and some people don't, like Tony right now. So
yeah, it was a lot. That's a lot going on there.
But this, holy shit, dude. Wow. That's all I got to say.
Well, we have one more.
Let's get right to it because we are getting a little long here.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm going to check this one in quick.
Yeah, I gotta check this. What we got? Oh, shit, I dropped my phone.
Whew, what an episode. Dude, as soon as I drank like the first three beers, I immediately bounced back to yesterday.
So, Bobby's saying not too many road trip Moros in the past week, just the Snitz. What do you think about Snitz? How does that go for you?
So, yeah, our road tripping with Rosa.
Thank you guys again so much for coming down. I'm so glad you guys showed up.
We actually...
I spoke Spanish to Rosa, too. It was great.
we headed out for Andy's birthday. We stopped at the Fredericksburg Eagle Hotel on the way out. We had two beers. It's a place I used to pass by all the time in my travels, and I never and always wanted to. So I was like, we're going there. We're stopping. And we also wanted to stop in Moose's LZ in Jonestown. But when we got there, there was a line out the door. So we just kept going, and we went to the brewery. After we left Andy's festivities, we stopped at the Hollywood Casino for a little bit.
I had to do.
It wasn't a good day this time as far as winning went, but I left Rosa down on the floor. I went upstairs to the Tattered Flag bar up there. I had a couple down there, and I came back down the floor, and I killed Heineken as I watched Last Way Money go down to crapper. it was a good day, though.
The only thing that sucks is, so I guess last Tattered Flag, because they're renting the place, you can't actually take their beers out unless they've changed it since I was there.
I didn't even try, so I don't know. But not a knock on Tattered Flag. Anyone who's been to the original brewery and they know what's going on there, but it's definitely not the same feel.
Casino foe, like they cater to the casino.
I mean, the clientele's, you know, it's just you know, the people that I don't think there was a veteran on the floor working in there while I was there, or anyone who had any veteran relations. The vibe is different.
Yeah.
If you go, and it's not a knock on them. I understand what's going on.
They're growing.
But if you're expecting the same thing when you go to their bar at the casino, just be prepared.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then like I said, that, like that's what they I don't know if anything's changed, but since they're renting the space, they're actually not allowed to take their beers out, which that kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But we had a great conversation with when we were there a few months ago, we had a great conversation with the bartender, and the dude that was sitting next to us is like a bar installer who does like tap lines and stuff. So we had a really great conversation with that guy who tells us about all like how those coolers and stuff work and everything. So that was really cool.
I'm going to give a shout out real quick to Square Table Degenerates hanging out with us. Say they're at Dave and Buster so they can listen because it's so loud. No one cares.
Which DMB are you at, guys?
Yeah, where you at? Let us know. And we got to get together for collaborations soon.
Dude, DMB is so much fun.
We have them on. It's going to be Bang & Beers Podcast Presents episode, whatever, 170, and the boys get STDs.
So real quick, though, while we're talking about all this, because so there's actually an Estonia badge you can get from these. So how did you pronounce it, Bob?
Tervisex.
Tervisex. So that's cheers. So in a full-fledged beer revolution, Estonia is making leaps and bounds in its local craft beer offerings. No longer are Estonians stuck with only a handful of big beer choices. Tervisex. That's five different beers from a brewery from Estonia. Try five more to get level two. So they have their own badge, too. That's sick.
Yeah, actually, I hit level two during today's show. I've had some other beer from Estonia before.
Nice. But I'm still, I can't. This Pime, ooh, Ile, wow.
That's going to be hard to top.
I am over the goddamn moon on this beer. Because literally, I love a good stout, like a nice dessert. Sit down, like, because my wife always jokes, like, because she always like get a cake or something after. I'm like, yo, give me that stout. But whatever barrel they age this in,
I think we killed Tony on the last one.
He might be dead, but yeah, like I can't. I'm already gonna vote beer on the night on that one. So spoiler alert, that's where I'm going on that. But like this, literally, I can't stop talking about it because it, like that nose. Tate smells like a Lagavulin bottle, and the smoothness and sweetness of it. Wow, I cannot. And so now I got to go to what is this? We got our other barrel aged series, which is this is a barley wine, right?
Yes.
So this is triple barrel BA barley wine ale.
I have it up. That's up to you if you want me to go.
Yeah, let's do it, Bob.
To come back.
Nah, we're good. We gotta fill that space while he's out.
All right, so this one is called Triple Barrel. It's part of the Stellar series from the Pohjola Brewing of Tallinn, Estonia. It's considered an American barley wine. It comes in at 13% ABV, and it's listed at 25 IBUs. This has been checked in roughly 5,000 times, where it averages a 4.3. I have 7 friend check-ins, where it averages a 4.45. It's not elaborate, but I do have a friend highlight. If you're listening out there, this is from Stout Irishman. He's down around Lancaster, Lidditz way. Plums, raisins, dates with a sweet, malty, boozy base. Darn tasty. And he gave it a 4.25. The official write-up is... Triple Barrel is a carefully brewed multi-vintage barley wine, a blend of barley wine aged for 24 months in bourbon and rye whiskey barrels, and a small part rye ale aged for 15 months in rye whiskey barrels. The flavor profile is listed as barrel-aged, strong, sweet, full, and sweetness.
I didn't try this one yet.
No, that's good. No smokiness there.
Nope. But it's like
that's like a cross between a barley wine and a stout.
Yeah, but even like in the write up, so this beer is like a labor of love almost.
Yeah,
because of like all the work that went into it, like between aging and blending and.
But that's I immediately like the dark fruits, the yep. plums, this, figs, dates.
You know, this reminds me of a port wine.
Maybe a little bit on the finish.
Yeah, like that sweetness, like it reminds me of a port wine. If you ever had, like, they're what 20% usually or so, but they're very sweet and they have a lot of those dark fruit notes to them.
But again, there's a little bit of hints of booziness there, but you would never suspect the ABV is this high.
Yes,
for something this strong, this goes down so incredibly smooth. It's fantastic.
All of these beers I want to drink out of a snifter, like in front of a fire. They're so good. And wow, this is a bar. Like I said, this is a barley wine, but it has a dark ass barley wine. But it's sweet. All the abilities were rolling up over the candle.
Yeah.
Wow. Estonia, keep cranking it out.
Now, I will say this. This is not coming off as a knock. This is not coming off as anything negative. I'm just being honest in my reviews and honest with what I'm experiencing as a drinker. I'm still very new to the darker beer game, right? So I will say this. I got chocolate. I got a lot of that out of it. But I definitely will say, besides the orange peel one and the barley wine one, a lot of them were all, like these three for me, were all very, the two of them were, they're all in the same wheelhouse. Like I think nothing really jumped out that tasted extremely, extremely different to me than the other one. And I'll get into the one I will pick for the beer of the night, where I think would definitely stood out because it had a different taste to it. But there is a similarity. Like there's a style to what they're doing here. And it's just like, if you drink an IPA, if you're a seasoned IPA drinker, you're going to pull more out of it. So a lot of that stuff, I didn't get the full experience.
It's like a lot of people with New Trail that say that they're just making the same beer and slapping a different label on it. But like, so that's like what this is for you.
Kind of.
Like it's all the dark beers kind of taste similar.
Yeah. So I definitely enjoyed myself this episode. They're all really good. The only one that I would be like that I took a drink, I was like, not for me, is the smoked one. Besides that, everything else has been unbelievable. This is a great episode, Bob.
And it's
don't thank me. Thank the people that made it.
Yeah. To have these beers like I said, this Bang Bears International. But like from Estonia, like such a far away land compared to where we're at. And these are fantastic. Like
don't take that lightly at all. Like the fact how far these beers traveled for us to enjoy them means the world to us. Like, that's a cool experience.
So everything is amazing.
Well, I mean, and even just to put that into perspective, like I've known about these guys for a long time. Everywhere I have ever went looking for beer, this is the first time I ever found it.
Yeah.
Everything we've had from this brewery has been fantastic. So keep it up, boys in Estonia. Like, keep it up.
I know there's a time difference, but the door is always open for you as well. If you would love to come on.
We'll be doing like 2 o'clock in the morning
show. I think it's probably like an 8-9 hour time difference or something between us.
But if you ever want to join us via video call, we would be more than happy to come speak to you.
We'd love to have you guys. Yeah. But everything you guys make that we've had right now, and we're so glad we can get in the States. Amazing. The sours, the stouts, and then this last barley wine. Like I said, seriously, this Islay, wow. Like, this is, I gave it a 5 on tap. Like, I love smoky scotches, and I love a good hearty stout, and it combines them both.
I think that will kind of give us your take.
Yeah, so we're going to do it already, because I'm going to go the Islay.
Yeah, same.
All right.
Sorry, Tony.
I won't waste my vote then.
it's exactly what it is. Because, like I said, we always have so much bourbon barrel aged stuff. To have a scotch barrel, and not just a scotch, an Islay scotch that is very smoky, and it's definitely its own characteristic. Wow.
No, I don't disagree with you at all on that. It's delicious. It definitely wasn't for me. It was very, very smoky. I'll go number two for my beer of the night. And this would have been my beer, but obviously it's going to go second. I'm going to go with the Musk Cold or whatever it's called. That was that white chocolate one, the second porter we had. I absolutely love that. That was really, really good.
I can back that up.
I just scrolled back through my scores, and I probably wouldn't originally have picked it for my second favorite, but I did score it identically. Every beer here is amazing. I have no problems agreeing with that.
I drank where I was like, I feel like I'm not rich enough to drink that. Like,
that fantastic. Yeah, so good. I'm gonna go on my last. I'm gonna vote. You know what? I'm going to do the raspberry goza or the raspberry sour ale.
What do you think? I have something different.
Yeah, so do I.
I would go the orange peel one.
Ooh.
Yeah, the orange peel one was good, but I'm going with the raspberry goat. The raspberry.
Like, my main thinking behind sour. It is I don't love raspberry stuff, but I love that beer.
Yeah.
See, I was going to go with the barley wine.
The barley
like my,
wine?
Like my idea is that the other two are obviously not like all day like
yeah.
beers.
Yeah. This is,
but,
though.
But that is absolutely an all day.
I dig it. So our number one is going to be the Cellar Series, the Prime Ue Ue, Islay Imperial Islay Stout.
Barrel aged.
Yeah. Barrel aged stout. Second one's going to be the Must Cold. Porter, and number three is going to be the raspberry sour ale. I'm not even going to try that one. That's Prince.
But every
See, that's actually a German name. That,
yeah, that's pretty much pronounced how it's
Prenzlauer Berg.
Yeah, that's pretty much pronounced how it's spelled.
My burps are very pleasant. It's like chocolatey burps.
Yep.
But the thing is, all of these beers,
they were all good.
So good. The high ABV ones really hide it, and that is scary. So, but a lot of really great dessert beers. I would love to try a lager or something from these guys.
But I'm
oh my God.
I'm just wondering if they probably don't ship well from Estonia to the
lagers.
Well, see, but that's another thing. Now, I've had beer from two other breweries in Estonia, and I have had Estonian lagers that I thought they held up fairly well. I mean, and like,
I think the only time I really got to worry about that is with IPAs.
I mean, but like some of these I haven't had since the 90s.
And, yeah.
And when I tried them back then, I thought they were fine. I can't imagine that everything involving the transportation that has done nothing but improve in intervening time. And I mean, like, since they've become independent and are no longer part of the Soviet Union, they have they're part of the European Union now.
Yeah,
I mean, they're just everything is very forward thinking. There is even though it's simpler and easier to do, we do it this way. Soviet thinking that's all gone in all their industry.
Which is awesome.
That's they don't do the dumb and easy anymore. It's very forward thinking and looking, and it's always about how to make things better, faster, less expensive. And already, even in the Soviet days, Estonia was the it was like the window on the west. They were the most forward. They're so close to Finland. They're so close to Sweden. They were always ahead of everybody else in stuff like this.
Well, you're ahead of everybody else when it comes to the porters and stouts as well, Estonia. Yep. You guys are killing it. Bob, in closing, what do you want to plug? Get out there.
Again, I'd like to say thank you to Toppling Goliath. I never expected this in a million years. You know, we don't go out doing this looking for freebies.
No,
you know,
with
very few exceptions, we always pay for all the beer ourselves.
Yeah, that's our like credo.
But to me, that says miles about what kind of people run that place. And again, thank you very much. I appreciate it. This is this would have been the shirt that I would have bought first.
Yeah,
I love it. I want to say thank you to the wonderful people at Poyala. Every beer we had here today was amazing. I'm going to continue to watch for more. And I'm sure that after tonight, no one here is going to have any issues with me bringing them on.
Not at all. Nope. And they retweeted us on Twitter, which was dope.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'll give a shout out again to the people at Snitz Creek. We had a great time at the Anvil Expansion Brewery yesterday. Again, the service was fantastic. I don't know if you guys realize it upstairs, but that place was packed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. So some of our bartenders were doing double duty.
Oh, they were running three places because there's a downstairs bar, an upstairs bar,
and
a
garage bar. And us. Yeah. Yep.
So, again, a shout out. The beer was great. The food was fantastic. The service was exceptional. It's worth your time. If you're in that neck of the woods, please check them out.
If we ever get to the point where we have enough listener engagement, where we can go to a place and be like, hey, we want to rent out a room for a day, that would be the place to do it, where we can bring all of our listeners to a location and we can all hang out for a day and get to know each other, and figure something out. That's a location to do it.
Yeah, and they do a ton of cool stuff. They do live music, they do trivia, they do a lot of fun stuff. So keep an eye out on them.
Yeah. Bill?
I'm just going to mirror what Bob said about all the Toppling Goliath stuff, all the Snitch Creek stuff, but also I'm going to do a shameless promotion.
Go ahead.
So at the Craft House, we launched an app and a website. So you can actually go on and order your beer.
What is the app called?
It's just called you should just be able to search the Craft House in your app store and it should show up. Also, House. There's House. Yeah, HAUS, not HOUSE.
The German house.
Yes. Also, skookbeer.com will get you to the site, and then there should be a link there. You can see what we have up to date on hand. So what we have in the store, you can pre-order, and you can pay online, and then you just come in and you pick it up.
Nice. That's awesome.
So we will pull the order for you. We will have it ready.
People doing that in the area too.
And you walk in and then you say, hey, like I have an order, and then we just hand it to you and you leave and you don't have to wait in line to buy. If there's a limited release that you think we're only going to get a couple cases of, you can go on and order on that way. So to make sure that you have the beer that you want. So that just launched this week.
And if you look at
we're hoping that grows.
Their beer and the second tab,
the second tab is
Billy's Picks, and it's his little Chesterfield.
I will be changing that up, on occasion. But one that will always be in there will be Chetty.
Yep. Nice. Jeans Picks.
Yep.
Seinfeld
reference. Andy.
Working on my acoustic projects, coming along well. I got a brand new acoustic guitar. Fuck FedEx. because luckily it survived, but so I got a brand new Taylor acoustic, which are not cheap, and the FedEx delivery driver decided to power bomb it onto my porch, so that's great. Luckily,
Broken in half.
I was very tempted to save the video and then do
I'll send it to you.
All right.
But so FedEx, step your game up, dude. Like, I don't care if your dudes hate your job, but like
people work really, really hard to get stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you work hard to get a piece of equipment or to buy something. So if you're a delivery driver and you hate your life, fucking quit, because people spend a lot, like, work really hard to get their things, and for you to just fucking throw it on a porch like that is bullshit.
Literally, and it's intent. Like, if you go watch, it's on my Twitter.
Oh yeah, I saw it. Yeah,
it's on my Instagram, it's on Facebook. The dude literally picked it up and slammed it, and it was an acoustic guitar. Like, they are not fucking gentle beings. I mean, no, they are gentle beings. So yeah, fuck you, FedEx. They asked me.
The company itself went out of its way to like reach out to you, right, after you posted it.
Well, yeah, but I'm not gonna get anything. What are they gonna do? Write the guy up? Like, yeah, pay for my guitar, dude. God damn it! I wish they would have broken it, because I would have gotten a free guitar to FedEx.
Yeah.
But beyond that, acoustic program's going well. Follow us on all the socials. We've been posting a lot of stuff. This brewery, I already forgot it.
Poyala.
Wow, Estonia, keep it up. If you guys ever want to figure something out, your beers are amazing. This Islay Barrel Age one is probably my new favorite beer. So thank you very much. And thank you, Toppling Goliath. You guys went above and beyond, just because we bought a variety pack at a beer store, and you guys went above and beyond for everything. So thank you so much. Keep putting out awesome beers. Hopefully one day we can make it out to Iowa and hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can't wait for your rep to come. As soon as you let us know your rep, we're taking him out for a night. We're buying him dinner and a whole nine. We're going to hang out with that guy. We have tons of places that we can do tap takeovers with. So once you get that rep taken care of, send us a message, and we'll reach out to our connections with the local, like between
Black Diamond, we'll get something figured out.
The Washington,
little brown barrel. One of them will take care of it.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. All I got is the IWEP network. Thank you all so much. Remember, if you can help us out, if you made it this far and you're not already subscribed to our YouTube channel, make an account, do so. Just show that support to the network. I had a lot of people during the open mic come up to me and say really, really kind words of support, of just, uh, just noticing the work I put in. Not everyone probably listens to the show, and I understand that. It's a lot to ask people to listen to a podcast, especially when it's not a famous person, because everyone's going to gravitate towards someone who's already established and famous and rich. But this is a dream, man. And if it ever pays off, it'd be great. And the fact that people are coming out and supporting me in other venues, whether it be wrestling or just showing up at a bar because we say we're there just to say hi, it means a lot. So thank you guys so much for that. That's all I got. Bang and Beers podcast episode, where are we at?
156. Next week we got Dancing Gnome from Pittsburgh, Western PA, so that'll be a lot of fun too.
Yeah, we have Dancing Gnome lined up, we have a new trail pack lined up, and we have a Since Creek episode lined up. So yep. We have some fun
and then
things.
We got April, like I said, April 9th we're going to be at Rusty Rail hanging out. So
please come to that.
Come hang out, chill with us. It's their celebration for their millionth canning of Fog Monster. The Rusty Rail guys have been awesome. So check it out.
So last episode, I was wearing a t-shirt when everybody was wearing their St. Patty's Day because my favorite wrestler at the time was in ICU. He was on life support. Unfortunately, he did not fight his battle and win. He did pass away. So RIP to Scott Hall. And here's how I want to close out the episode. Hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
Hey, Chico.
And that's how we're going to do it. Ayo, Chico.
Back up here, signing out. Peace.